Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you once again, my radio listeners. This is Pastor Ola Starling with the Anointed Word Ministry. I am so blessed to be here tonight. I thank God for you, and I thank God, praise God, for allowing me to be able to come before you today. It is not of my doing. It's the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has allowed me to come in, praise God, and come in before you once again, and to just, praise God, just come to you with the word of God, not knowing, praise God, you know, what the day would bring, but only because of him that I'm able to appear tonight in the word of the Lord and just give God some praise and some glory, because it's only him, praise God, that I can glorify. It is not in my own doing. It's not of my doing. It's of him and him alone. And I do give him the praise and the honor for that. I pray, praise God, that you and your family is well. I pray, praise God, that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you have been talking with him, walking with him, sitting with him. I pray that you even invited him to your dinner table. How many of us in sister plates are played out for him to join us at our dinner table? Many times, praise God, we won't do that. But when you pray, your bless your food, praise God, you should invite him, praise God, always to be with you at your place of place where you eat, praise God, in your life. Give him space in your life, praise God. That is what he's looking for. You must understand, praise God, that he is a God, praise God, that loves the communication between him and his children. Remember the word of God stated, that those that come to me must come as a little child, not as an adult. Somebody thinking, you know it, I got it. You know, your chest all pushed out, thinking you done arrived. You must humble yourself before the mighty hands of God and come as a little child. He's looking for us there, praise God. When we come to him, we come as children, not as adults. Not as a Mr. Knowing and Miss Knowing. We come in the spirit of humility, that he may be able, praise God, to touch us in our spirit man. Amen. I thank God, praise God, for you tonight. But tonight, praise God, I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to go into the word, because it's all about the word. Amen. I get excited when we start talking about the word. I get really excited. But tonight, praise God, Father, as I come to you tonight, I'm asking, Lord, that you forgive for all of our sins and our iniquities. Father God, cleanse us and wash us with the hyssop of your word. Father God, give us, praise God, a space in your kingdom. But Father God, let us recognize, God, we must be born again believers, Father God, that we may have a right to the tree of life. I thank you, Father God, for saving, praise God, the unsaved. I thank you, praise God, for saving those, praise God, that desire to be saved, that want to be saved. Father God, that realize without salvation, life is not sure. And Father God, I ask that you open the hearts of those hearts that are hardened, that they may know, praise God, that you are still saving, you are still delivering. Praise God, you are still healing. You are in, praise God, the business, praise God, of taking care of your children. Father God, let them know if they open their hearts and receive you, praise God. Just come in, praise God, repent, believe, and receive. Father God, they can have a right to the tree of life. Father God, I thank you right now for your blood covenant over us each and every day as we travel up and down danger highways. Father God, you send forth your angels at every corner of the earth, from the east, the west, the north, and the south. And Father God, I thank you for the angels that you have given charge over my life. I give you praise. I give you glory. And I thank you for the angels you have given charge over my children as they go to and fro. Keep them covered under the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, Edeboshata, God, and bind the very hands of Satan. Satan, you are weakened and bound. The Lord thy God rebuke you in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for your blood covenant, and thank you for giving me the authority to use that powerful name of Jesus in situation, praise God, that arise, because the weapons may form, but they will not prosper. And Father, I thank you, God. Hey, God, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. And I give you praise, glory, and honor is due to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And tonight, praise God, I just want to say once again, thank you, praise God, for allowing me to come in to your space and your place. But tonight, I'm talking, praise God, I want to talk to you with plainness and clarity, praise God, that you may understand and get the understanding of this message. And today, I will want to share with you what I believe to be the most, praise God, important reason why I am a member of the family of God. I want to share that with you. And it gives me scripture answers to the question that I'm about to ask. What must I do to be saved? Now, that's very plain. What must I do to be saved? Now, let me begin talking to you about this question, such a sincere, profound question that people don't really ask anymore. They don't think it's important, or they don't even think about asking that question. What must I do to be saved? Because many people think they're already saved. You see, but the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but there's nothing but destruction in that, because they think, the Bible says, the one that come to him cry, Lord, Lord, they think they have eternal life. Through the scripture, they think, but see, they have eternal life. And he said, these are the ones that testify of me. You think you got it, but you don't. And it says, praise God, I'm saying to you right now, it says, and I want to talk to you and analyze this question simply by just breaking down the words that was in that statement. And the word what it means, praise God, the word what means there is something required of a man, you understand me, in being saved. What? The question, what? There is something that is required of a man to be the man in being saved, and he who asks this question understands this fact. The word must indicates that there is not a question of what should I or what may I, but what must I do. It is not a matter of opinion. The word must, it teaches the absolute necessity of the requirement. The word I indicates, hallelujah, that it is not what God, Christ, or the Holy Spirit must do, but what must I do? What must I do? And all who have any knowledge at all about the Bible know that the Godhead plays a part in man's salvation. Say that again. Anyone that knows the Holy Spirit must what's then the question to ask, what must I do? And all who know of the end of the Bible or know the whole, involved in the Holy Spirit know that, they all know about the Bible, know that the Godhead, what is the Godhead? The tunic plays a part in man's salvation. You see, there is no one that can do salvation or give you salvation except the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must understand that there is God's part and our part to put to salvation. What must I do? The word do does not mean what I must get, think, feel, or believe, but it suggests the activity on my part. Salvation is not a matter of opinion or passiveness, but of activity. If you take that word, do out of Christianity, you will destroy it. You will just mess it up. You will mingle it. You will tear it apart. You never read of the inspiration telling the sinner that there is nothing for him to do to be saved. The question was asked, what must I do to be saved? Everyone come to the Lord Jesus Christ must ask that question. What must I do to be saved? The phrase to be saved tells us the purpose, praise God, of the applying with the condition. To be saved is the object sought by the inquirer. You're inquiring it. You got to seek after it. The phrase also suggests that the saving is done by another. But what must a man do to be saved by the Godhead, the Heavenly Father? Now, I want to, praise God, to consider a sure way to try to get this question kind of, you know, people can understand it, because everybody want to make it look like trying to get saved or be saved is hard. It is easy as giving candy to a baby. There could be no plainer and use sure way to answer this question than to turn to the Bible and read the question and the answer given. You have everything you need. If the question is found even over 1,000 times, then we must read each question and answer and get an answer, the answer that's given. Doing this, we will present the whole truth on the matter. The question, what must I do to be saved, is found only a few times, maybe 4 or 5 times in the New Testament, and one of these is up under the Masonic law of Moses. The question was first asked by the rich man ruler who came to Jesus in Mark 10:17. He came to Jesus in 10:17. And when he was going forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked to him, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? That's the question he asked the Lord. Jesus referred to him to the Ten Commandments. Thank God for Lord. Thank God for Jesus. God, you're awesome God. Thank you, Lord, for coming. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Because the Masonic law was at that force at that time. And Christ had not yet died and nailed it to the cross. Because if he had not died and nailed it to the cross, we all would be on our way straight to hell. Because we have quit. We was not doing the law. We was not keeping the commandments, the Ten Commandments. Be honest with you, many of us don't even know the Ten Commandments. And so the Bible says, praise God, the teaching, praise God, states that during that time the Masonic law was in place, and at this time, for Christ had not yet died and had not nailed all of these laws or have you to the cross in Colossians 2:14. It was a Jewish duty to keep it. The young man replied in Mark 10:20. In 10:20 he replied, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. You telling me to do something I've already done, Master. The law of Moses was not yet kept, but not was yet taken out of the way. And he was to keep it. But he had a stumbling block that was in his way, and it was his material goods. In the same book in Mark, praise God, 10:22, and he said he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. He wasn't ready to give up his material goods. He only intended, hallelujah, to obey if it pleased him, like many of us today. We don't want to do what God told us to do, because guess what? If we don't get nothing out of it, then we don't want to do it. Tragically, many are like that today. This answer, though, would not be given today, for we are under the new law. Okay, the answer, the question, what must I do to be saved, was also asked, praise God, to the Jews on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. My God. And in Acts 2, we read of the Holy Spirit coming upon apostles. The object of which was to guide them and direct them in the preaching of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And Jews from every nation was there, and they all heard Peter's sermon in their own language, 2:6. Peter concludes his sermon by saying, Acts 2:36, notice these Jews respond in Acts 2:37. Peter then answered them and said in Acts 2:38, why are they not told to believe? Why they wasn't told to believe? Because they already believed. So much so that they wanted to be saved. But according to Peter, baptism, it is just as essential as repentance for the remission of sin for salvation. Salvation requires more than faith and a change of heart. More than faith and a change of heart. Notice in Acts, write these scriptures down. Notice in Acts 2 and 41, Saul of Tarsus asked, what must I do to be saved? In Acts 9. Saul is first mentioned in the connection with the stoning of Stephen's in Acts 7, 50, 58, 8, and 1, and is mentioned as a servant, as a persecutor of the church. Yes. Yes, he was. And Acts 8 and 3. In all of this, Saul thought he was doing right. Mm-hmm. See, he thought he was doing right. Because the Bible said there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof is nothing but death. It's destruction. It's destruction and death is coming. And he said in all of this, Saul thought he was doing right. In Acts 2, 30, 23 and 1 and Acts 26 and 9, our conscience is not a safe guide in our belief. Now back in Acts 9, 3 and 5, you will see and you will notice this amazing event did not save Saul, as some falsely assumed. It didn't save him. Acts 9 and 6, obviously there was something yet for Saul to do to be saved. What did Saul like? What did he like? What he didn't have? It was not belief. He had belief. It was not repentance. But he was so, you know, he was so adamant to that he spent 3 days praying with out nourishment. He didn't even eat. But what did Saul like? Now, we thought we knew this because, you know, we know he had all this other stuff. He should have been, you know, repentant and all of this. But Paul tells us in Acts 22 and 16, as he recounted his conversion, if Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, why he was so miserable, the truth is, he was not saved until after he was what? Baptized. Consider also the account of the Philippine, the jailer. Paul and Silas were prisoners in Philippine jail. In Acts 16 and 25 and 30, the jailer was an unbeliever. And there is no evidence that he even ever heard of a gospel sermon. And the answer to this, Paul says in Acts 16:31. But the story does not end here. Why? So he could believe. Why? So he could believe. In Romans 10:17, the results of a teaching is seen in Acts 16:33. Why have we been there? We've seen three different answers given to the question, but the explanation is not heard. The jailer was an unbeliever. He was told to believe. They preached to him from the purpose of producing faith. And then he repented and was baptized. The people at Pentecostal, praise God, did believe. So they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. Believe and be baptized. Saul was a believing, you know, man. So he was told to be baptized and to wash away his sins. Now, they were given different answers because they were at different places on the road to salvation. And many times people do things different, give it to people. This is what you do, this is what you should do, this is what you ought to do, this is what you could do. But all did the same thing and traveled over the same road. People may come to Christ in different effects in different ways, but the best thing and the most important thing, you need to come. You need to come. For example, a man may ask how far is it to, you know, Waco or to California, what have you, and someone tell him about 40 miles. He may travel 5 miles and ask the question again and get a different answer. He may travel 10 miles and then he asks the same question and get another different answer than the two before. The answer given depends whether on his journey to Waco he was what? He was the same is truth for one on this road to salvation. One way you must come, and that is through the door of Jesus Christ. You can get back and tell you what, but you must come through the door. You must come through the door, praise God, of knowing, praise God, who Jesus is to be saved, that you may have a right to the tree of life. Many people try to find excuses, but there is no excuse. It is simple and it is plain. You must repent. You must believe so that you can receive. It is no such thing as what, because regardless of how you come, praise the Lord, or what make you come, or how you should come, or do you come, or did you want to come, you just need to come. Come, praise God, and you ask the Lord, what must I do to be saved? What must I do, Father? What must I must change in my life? Father God, I come to you without one plea. Lord, I come to you, Father God, because the word says to me, if I come to you and confess my sins, I must be able to come. That's why the word of God says to you, come. He keeps saying to us in a plain language, I want to reason with you. Come just as you are, and I'll in no wise cast you out. Come, come, come. I'm standing with outstretched arms saying, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, you know, and you have burdens are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. Come to me. Come. Don't try to dress up to come to me. Come to me as you are. As you come to me, then I will meet the need, because it's my grace. You are saved by grace. Hey, God. You are saved by grace. The grace of God is what saves you. It is no other penalty. You are saved by the grace of God in order for you to get into the kingdom. Your works is not going to get you in. You may be a faithful usher on the door at the church, but my friend, if you're not a faithful servant of the Lord and have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ and repented and asked God to forgive you of all of your sin and to cleanse you from all the unrighteousness, you just one working on the door. It's not your works that get you into heaven. Many people are misunderstanding that. You know, I was a faithful, you know, greeter child. That's what man got you doing. That ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. That didn't have a thing to do with your salvation. That's man's duty. But your salvation deals with you coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him and recognizing I am a sinner without a Savior in my life, and I need Jesus in my life, and I need to be saved. Only Jesus Christ can save you. It ain't the preacher. It's not the mama, the daddy, my friend. It's the saving of Jesus Christ that brings you to eternal life, that breaks you, take you from darkness to light. It's only Jesus, only him. And as we were saying a few minutes ago, you may be given five different answers, but only that one answer is, come to me just as you are, and I will in no wise cast you out. He says it also in Isaiah. He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. I will cleanse the sins for you. I can't do it. If I could clean my own sin, I'd have been in the Lord a long time ago. But sin had me entrapped. I was entrapped in darkness. It took something stronger than me to bring me out of darkness into the light. And I had to realize that, and I had to come. I come. He said, let it come. If any man come to me. He said, if he that will, you are a free will agent. You can come to him. He that will, let him come. The answer was given, praise God, depending on where his journey to Waco was. That's what he said. The same is true for anyone on the road to salvation. The same is true, depending on where are you on your journey. But either way you do it, you got to come to Jesus. He said, if any man come, he must what? Come. He said, I am the door. You got to come through him. We must, what must we do to be saved? The answer, hear, believe, repent, confess, baptize, and remain faithful to Jesus' comeback. Remain faithful to Jesus' comeback. A lot of people ask me, how do you do that? It's amazing how you ask how you do that, but nobody asks how I started sinning and couldn't stop. How you start sinning and cannot stop. My friend, the Lord is saying to you today, the day you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. I'm speaking, saith the Lord. I'm speaking. This is the day I'm speaking today, that you turn your life around, that you have the option, you have the advantage to ask the Lord into your life right now, that you must be saved. You must hear, you hear me speaking, believe. Every man has belief, whether he's a sinner or a saved. And sometimes, praise God, the sinner, the belief of a sinner is more stronger than the belief of them that tell me that I know Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, God. The sinner man. He said, hear, believe, repent. Repent. Every one of us, or we all will likewise perish. Confess. What are you confessing? I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I want to be saved. I want to spend my life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're not living now, but after death, the life begins. After this life, the life begins. Because you must understand, you are a spirit covered in a body. This body goes back to the dust, but your spirit lives on forever. I ask you tonight, give God your life. Give God your life that you may live for eternity. Give him your life today. All you need to do is confess, I'm a sinner. It's just like the Alcoholics Anonymous. They can't even get into the group until they confess, I am an alcoholic. They can come all day long. Every night they can come, but they are not initiated into that, praise God, into that circle until they confess, I am an alcoholic. Then they start working with them, giving them the help that they desire to try and help them to overcome that problem of drunkenness. And let's use that same thing, praise God, for Jesus. Until you confess, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved, the Lord cannot help you. Nobody can help you except you repent, believe, confess, and hear the word. And after God do all he do in your life, remain faithful. You may fall, but you don't have to stay down. Get up, for Jesus is standing right now saying, come, come just as you are, and I'll in no wise cast you out. I'll reach out and pull you in to the family of God. I pray, praise God, you was blessed, praise God, from this teaching tonight, because the Lord is missing it. Because they figure if I walk up to the church and I give the pastor my hand and give him your heart, baby, that ain't nothing. That's garbage. You need to give it, praise God. Give your life to Christ. We're not talking about putting it on the roll book and then coming in, you know, cleaning the church and cleaning the bathrooms and all this kind of stuff and being there every service. You can be there all you want to, but if you don't know who Jesus is, all of that is in vain. It's in vain, my friend. You need to know who Jesus is. And I pray, praise God, that this message, praise God, will make you think, do I really know who Jesus is? And after you do all of this, then he will put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray, praise God, you was blessed tonight. I want you, praise God, to keep, praise God, just remember, praise God, what was said here tonight. The word is the word all by itself, and it is a true word. You must ask that question, sinner man, backslider, what must I do to be saved? I pray, praise God, you was blessed. And until this time, praise God, tomorrow from 11 to 11:30, you can go, praise God, to hear the messages at blogtalkradio.com/anointed word ministries. You be blessed. I pray that the word touches you. And I know that the word will not go out void. It will accomplish. You be blessed. You be blessed. Praise the Lord.
Jesus.